Today we are in the presence of the living God. Amen. The living God who shaped us from the dawn of time. The living God who knows all that we are. The living God who put this little light inside of us to shine. That God is here today. And all we can say is amen. My gratitude bucket is full right now. Whew. To have the Reverend Dr. Christine and Dennis Wiley, Bishop Allison Abrams, representatives from the mayor's office doing justice work in our city. You need to understand that what makes these walls and this space holy is when people doing God's work in the world show up here and bless us. And so today, we know that this time is sacred, that we as a community here at Calvary are being blessed by this moment. We are being given the energy we need to carry forward. So thank you. Y'all don't even know this, but as I'm trying to sort of get a sense of and coordinate with Director Alexander Reed about this service, I'm also in an email chain with Reverend Dr. Christine Wiley about her preaching at the end of this series that we're starting today. So y'all see her today. She's going to be back on March 3rd. She's bookending our worship, which of course is God's good work in the world and in this place. So with all that in mind, I'll say it again. It is good to be in the house of God today, celebrating light bearers and trailblazers like these ones, celebrating the work of city and federal officials, many of them bearing the weight of this unnecessary and, shall I call it, violent furlough. Celebrating the work of these mothers and sisters on the front of our bulletin as we lean into an important series here at our church, a series that invites the theological and moral imagination of women of color in America, a series that invites us to imagine differently with womanists and mujerista scholars to challenge us to think and speak in ways that the majority of the Christian church has not and does not speak. Best I can tell, that's a lot to hold in one day. We can do it. But if any day of the year is to be saturated with a different kind of imagination, if any day of the year is to be saturated with both celebration and challenge with the viciousness of this country and the possibility that resides in its people, what other day than the day we remember our brother, prophet, pastor, truth teller, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.? You'd think the lectionary planners set us up pretty well on this MLK Sunday. Here's how our text from Isaiah 62 opens up. You heard it read in Spanish. Hermana Eugenia read it a few moments ago. Por el amor de Sion no callaré, y por amor de Jerusalén no descansaré hasta que salga como resplandor su justicia y su salvación se encienda como una antorcha. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication, and if I may use our Spanish translation because it does a better job, justice. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her justice shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. We hear in this message the rousing non-silence of a prophet reclaiming his people's moral center, demanding that they not rest until salvation is shining like a burning torch, like a thousand little lights of mine. Can you hear Dr. King's rousing non-silence contextualized and enfleshed in this prophecy of old? For America's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Washington's sake, I will not rest until her justice shines like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. See Dr. King for the totality of his unjustly short life, refused to give up on the possibility that America really could shine with justice, really could blaze with salvation, but not until it understood what real light was. Not until it chose no longer to live under a halogen haze of fake and cheap illumination, producing nothing more than the illusion of justice, and not the blazing rising dawn of reparations and restoration. Not until it understood that its light did not reside in its history of violence, colonization, and militancy, but that its greatest light resided in its potential to be shaped by the very voices and people it had oppressed. America could be great, but its greatness would be radically different from any expectation that this city on a hill ever had. Its greatness was not in its ability to be the most powerful nation in the world, but in its potential to repair what it had destroyed. America's salvation has always been and always will be found in the people that America was never built for in the first place. Black folks, brown folks, queer folks, immigrant folks, disinherited folks, propertyless folks, wise folks, imaginative folks, freedom fighting folks, forgiving folks, truth telling folks, and can I say it, maladjusted folks. Folks who have been singing us to freedom even when collectively we do not deserve it. Folks who have been imagining what this soil is capable of producing even when we destroy it. It's so easy on a day like today to do little more than what I call Pinterest quote Dr. King. We say a word or two about beloved community, about little black boys and little black girls holding hands with little white boys and little white girls, while forgetting that Dr. King spent his whole adult life calling for a reckoning in this country, demanding that we name, clarify, articulate, and accept once and for all that this land was built by the imagination of white supremacy. And our silence about that would only press us ever more towards our own demise as a people. And Dr. King pressed us far along, these sisters on the cover of our bulletin, they kept on pressing. They continued to name the intimate domestic ways that white supremacy, ever passionately and violently wedded to patriarchy, was destroying black women, black queer women, women who had been carrying the world's volatility in their bodies and bones far too long. So we seek to be the kind of community that not only makes room for the stories and visions of these guiding lights, but chooses to be shaped by, revolutionized by, their rousing non-silence. That's a big difference. What happens when our little homophobia dispelling, racism abolishing, white supremacist obliterating, womanist imagining lights start shining in the cavernous dungeons of this country's morally bankrupt nooks and crannies?
Wow. Say that again.
What happens when our little homophobia dispelling, racism abolishing, white supremacist obliterating, womanist imagining light starts shining in the cavernous dungeons of this country's morally bankrupt nooks and crannies? Every time I hold my wife closely to me in a world that perpetually tells me I shouldn't, I am refusing to ingest the mandated silence of an oppressive ideology. And my light shines a little brighter. My voice echoes a little farther. Every time my brother and Pastor Elijah demands that we say Black Lives Matter, not because it's a charitable act on behalf of Black people or because it makes us sound woke, but because our souls are at stake. If we don't learn how to say it and mean it, our light shines a little brighter. Our voices resound a little farther. As Sister Audrey and the prophet Isaiah ask us today to ask ourselves today, what are the words you do not yet have? What do you need to say? What are the tyrannies you swallow day by day and attempt to make your own until you will sicken and die of them? Still in silence, what is waiting to punch you in the mouth from the inside if you don't go ahead and get it out already? What is resounding inside of you? What light is flickering inside of you, ready to be released? Ready to heal the world, ready to rise up out of you and through you? And in spite of you, and because of you, and beyond you. See, this silence that Brother Martin and Sister Audrey speak of is a violent one. One that means to chokehold our imaginations and separate us from our belovedness. It is a silence emboldened by people and systems hell-bent on regulating liberation and micromanaging justice. And our silencing happens when we are silenced by powers and principalities that should not have the hold on us that they do. Did you see the video yesterday? Pastor Elijah mentioned it, of an indigenous tribal leader, Nathan Phillips, squaring his body in front of a slew of white men from a Catholic high school in Trump hats who thought they were doing God's work by coming to a March for Life rally. As they stood in front of the Lincoln Memorial, they taunted Nathan while shouting, "Build that wall." Did you see him? As he continued to beat the sacred drum in his hand and chant 1,000 years of history and ancestry and stories? Did you see that history pour out of his voice as he refused to be silenced by a group of youth poorly shaped by a vapid religious imagination and an emaciated morality? He said, as he was drumming and singing, he kept thinking about two things: his wife, Soshana, who died from bone marrow cancer nearly 4 years ago, and the various threats that face indigenous communities around the world. Did you know he was singing an American Indian movement song of unity that is often sung to send the spirits home? This brave Omaha tribe elder knew his silence would only punch him in the face from the inside if he didn't keep beating and chanting. As he faced the whirlwind of white supremacy, he could not, no, he would not be silent anymore. Today we conjure the rousing non-silence. The rousing non-silence of these ancestors and freedom fighters. And we will not be silent about unaffordable housing, police brutality, under-the-table redlining, and over-the-table gentrification, mass incarceration, deplorable immigrant policies, homophobic churches, domestic violence, sexual harassment in the workplace, stadiums and restaurants on one side of town and food deserts on the other. Today, we sing with people who taught us to sing "That Little Light of Ours Had Set Us Ablaze." We're not going to sing "This Little Light of Mine." Do y'all know this one? I'm going to tell y'all something. I want you to sing with me. Your pastor's going to sing right now. Are you ready? So I need y'all to stand, and we're going to do this a cappella. It ends with, and we won't stay silent anymore. Do y'all know this one? Oh, somebody's hurt my people, and it's gone on far too long. Yes, it's gone on far too long. I tell you, it's gone on far too long. Oh, somebody's hurt my people, and it's gone on far too long, and we won't be silent anymore. Y'all got it? Oh, somebody's hurting black women, and it's gone on far too long. Yes, it's gone on far too long. I tell you, it's gone on far too long. Oh, somebody's hurting black women, and it's gone on far too long. And we won't be silent anymore. And we won't be silent.